This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
To all you irreverent ones, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker. That was me singing, Pope, Pope, Stay Away.
And there was a Madison chorus.
In the background, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the Pope a little bit today, as well as the Mormon Church. I'm sometimes called your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves, and I like that title. Today is March 15th, the Ides of March. 2014. We're broadcasting Free Thought Radio from Madison, Wisconsin. And we broadcast in many other states, some other states, California and Michigan and Texas and Missouri and New York. So hello to all you listeners to the broadcast. And later, we put this up as a podcast. So hello to all you podcast listeners.
Free Thought Radio is produced by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. This is a once-a-week program. And FFRF works, of course, to keep religion out of government and to promote non-theism. And we're over 20,000 members nationwide now. And we'll have the pleasure later on today's show of speaking with our 20,000th member. His name is Ken Knighton. And it's a cute story because Ken contacted our office last fall when we were in the upper 19,000s range, saying he wanted to become the 20,000th official member and would make a special donation for that privilege. And so he waited very patiently as our numbers went up and down. And last month, he became not only our official 20,000th member, but our newest lifetime member. And he's got an interesting background. He's a former Mormon. So we'll be learning more about him. He lives in Utah, what it's like to support separation of church and state and be a free thinker in the state of Utah on the second half of today's program.
So he might stay long enough to be with us when we reach 40,000 members. Today, we're going to talk about a number of issues, including the Freedom From Religion Foundation's complaint to the mayor of Green Bay, who issued a formal invitation to the Pope to come to Green Bay for the express purpose of visiting an area shrine to the Virgin Mary.
Talk about a secular purpose. Not.
And we also have a big complaint over entanglement with a church in two Florida school districts. Get this. A public high school has a bowling team chaplain. And after that, we'll talk about our tussle with a proselytizing police chief in Alabama.
But let's talk about the Pope first. Mayor Jim Schmidt of Green Bay, Wisconsin, sent a letter on official Green Bay letterhead to someone he addressed as Most Holy Father, and that would be Pope Francis, inviting him to visit Green Bay next year to, quote, make a pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Good Help.
His letter to the Pope said, Green Bay is a salt of the earth community that understands the sacred bonds of family, as evidenced by the fact, Mayor Schmidt said, that the shrine of Our Lady of Good Help is just outside of Green Bay, the first and only Blessed Virgin Mary apparition approved by the Catholic Church in the United States.
Ooh.
Apparition.
And Schmidt goes on and on about the supposed supernatural appearance of the Virgin Mary back in 1859. And he said that the community are filled with a generous heart for having this connection to the Virgin Mary. And Schmidt even signed the letter on Green Bay letterhead as your servant in Christ.
I thought he was a public servant, not the servant in Christ. 1859, maybe the Virgin Mary was upset about the publication of Darwin's book, The Origin of the Species. Maybe that's got her to resurrect. So Annie, Laurie, and I wrote a letter to Mayor Schmidt. By the way, we have successfully sued him and the city of Green Bay in the past for placing a nativity scene at the entrance of City Hall. So this isn't our first tussle with this mayor. You can read our press release and our letter online, our current letter. But we, of course, pointed out that he's the mayor of Green Bay, not the bishop of Green Bay, and that this official invitation from the city is a breach of his civil and secular duties. He's welcome to his embarrassing personal beliefs about apparitions, but he shouldn't use his civic office to promote these personal religious beliefs.
And we warned also that this invitation is fiscally reckless, with exorbitant costs associated with taxpayers wherever popes visit. UK citizens paid half of a $31 million cost for Benedict's visit in 2010. Spaniards marched in the streets of Madrid to protest the costs that were at least $144 million borne by taxpayers when the Pope visited Spain in August 2011. And there was a woman who carried a placard reading, "Religion is the opium of the people. Don't drug yourself with our taxes." And they actually rioted in Brazil last year over the $50 million costs associated when the Pope visited there.
In a few minutes, we'll play the rest of that song, the Stay Away Pope Polka, that I composed back in 1987 to protest the Polish Pope's, get it, Polish Pope, Polka, the Polish Pope's visit to the United States. And that song, which we're going to hear, was played over the air and at protests in all of the cities that Pope John Paul visited, by the way. Now, here's another egregious violation. We sent a letter of complaint and a records request on March the 11th to Birmingham, Alabama Police Chief A.C. Roper, objecting to his organizing and endorsing a Christian ministry. It's called Prayer Force United. Roper's inclusion of Christian prayer at mandatory department staff meetings and events was also protested. He's an ordained minister. He leads monthly prayer walks in different Birmingham neighborhoods under the auspices of this Prayer Force United ministry. The prayers are supposed to lower crime. FFRF staff attorney Andrew Seidel's letter details Roper's stated belief in the power of prayer and the powerlessness of his own police force. Quote, "The police are not the answer, never have been, never will be. Jesus said that he's the answer, and one of the biggest problems Birmingham is facing is a lack of godliness."
We are claiming the city of Birmingham for the kingdom of God.
I believe one of the biggest problems that we're facing as a city is a lack of godliness. We have turned away from the old landmarks. We have turned away from the foundational principles of God.
And this Prayer Force video shows Police Chief Roper appearing, using his title and his office to endorse the ministry and, as he said, claiming the city of Birmingham for God. Roper also explains that this prayer force is part of the police department. It's a prayer ministry. It's an intercessory ministry, he said, that in addition to our officers working every day to make the streets of Birmingham safe, we have a prayer force that's interceding.
And Andrew Seidel from our legal team has put together a video that's amusing that you can watch at FFRF's YouTube channel. Or you can find the link at FFRF's press release at fffrf.org/news. Look for the news release link.
As Andrew pointed out in his letter, those walks, those prayer walks, may actually lower crime simply by having crowds on the streets escorted by police cars with flashing lights. But that's not the power of prayer. That's the power of people. Prayer cannot stop violence. Scientific studies show that societies with less prayer have less violence.
And finally, FFRF sent letters of complaint March 7th to two public school districts, Orange and Seminole counties, and to the mayor of Castleberry, Florida, about egregious government violations with a Christian congregation called The Venue Church. And the irony is that The Venue Church's venue is the public schools. They rent the public schools and hold church every Sunday.
And they don't have their own building.
They don't have their own building. FFRF has been fighting other religious intrusions in Orange County District. We did file a lawsuit last June in federal court because the Orange County School Board had allowed distribution of a Bible and then censored our distribution.
Staff attorney Andrew Seidel detailed allegations in our letter to the Orange County Schools. They include, among many things, rampant religious activity at Apopka High School, including weekly services, other events sponsored by the venue church. The church says, we are permanently planting churches in Central Florida schools. Regular prayer sessions attended by football coaches and players, including prayers led by the venue church pastor, Todd Lamphere, who's also a team chaplain. He's also the bowling team chaplain. A video shows him praying with the team. Bible verses on signs and clothing. A large banner says, prepare for glory, 2 Corinthians 4:17, was displayed at the football field, as was another banner with a verse from John 15:13. Several T-shirts and jerseys combine the school logo with religious messages. Also, reels of Apopka and other district football teams posted on YouTube sometimes include Christian music in the background.
And so in FFF's letter to the school district, Andrew Seidel said it's inappropriate and unconstitutional for the district to offer a Christian minister unique access to befriend and proselytize students, and a similar set of violations appears to be occurring with this same church in Seminole County, so we sent a similar letter there.
Well, there's enough state church violations to fill 24 hours a day of radio programming.
Hope, stay away. Don't come back some other day. It's worse than a sin that we have to pay to hear you preach against the American way.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we've been talking about the Green Bay Mayor Schmidt's invitation to His Holiness the Pope, the leader of the Catholic Church, to come visit Green Bay, Wisconsin, and our letter of complaint on many grounds that he's violating his public office by mixing his personal religious views with his office, and, of course, the cost. And
also that the purpose, the express purpose of the visit is to visit a shrine to the Virgin Mary that's outside Green Bay.
Yeah, and the Pope is just a guy. He's a guy with some opinions, and he's not elected by any of the people that are in the church, especially no women elected him to be Pope. And he has this sort of soft image. But
well, the current Pope has a softer image, Pope Francis. But I would like to say that so far, he's just a frontispiece. He's got a genial front, but he hasn't changed a thing. And most notably, and there's been a lot of criticism just in the last week, no response to this indictment, this serious indictment by the United Nations against crimes against children. No reform, nothing, nada, nothing, not a peep out of him. So we do actually have a little bit from Christopher Hitchens about that very issue of the Catholic scandals.
The alternative is we publicly declare that if you can call yourself a priest of any kind, or a high priest, as the Pope is, then you don't have to answer any questions about the rape and torture of children. That would be a grotesque situation. Are we to say that there's a category of person who lives and commits crime and covers up crime above and beyond the law, or not? And if so, how are we going to live with ourselves? And what are we going to tell the children?
A voice from the past. That was an interview with Christopher Hitchens from 2010.
And when the Pope came to the United States back in the 1980s, we protested. There was all this media hoopla. We produced a protest song, which you heard a little bit of and we're going to play later, protesting the fact that Americans were paying millions of dollars in tax money to support his visit through protection and all that. And this song, which I think is the first song in history, first song to have an atheist backup choir, and Annie Laura, you're in the, you can hear yourself singing, and your dad and your brother. It was also played on all the radio stations in all the cities that the Pope visited as an alternative to all this Pope hoopla. The feminists in Washington, D.C. played or sang this song, and the gay rights in San Francisco did it, and the humanists in Phoenix. So here is a song that we dedicate now to the mayor of Green Bay, about his illegal invitation of the Pope to visit our state.
Pope, Pope, stay away. Don't come back some other day. It's worse than a sin that we have to pay. How dare you show your face in the great USA, where dictators like you are out of place? We believe in freedom and democracy here, and fairness for the whole human race. Now here you come parading in your pompous royal clatter, pretending that you govern the earth. But a million mouths are hungry while the church is growing fatter. That tells us just how much you are worth.
Pope, Pope, stay away. Don't come back some other day. It's worse than a sin that we have to pay.
Always say that woman is God's holy flower, but you really cannot hide what you mean. If you control her body and won't let her share the power, she just becomes a breeding machine. The world is overcrowded, they're dying of starvation, and you tell us what we need is a prayer. With just one word from you, we could control the population. But no, you're too religious to care.
Pope, Pope, stay away. Don't come back some other day.
It's worse than a sin that we have to pay to hear you preach against the American. You think that we should cower to your great medieval power, but who the devil do you think you are? Anyway, since we can't put up with you, why should we put you up? This is really going much too far. You say to pray for peace while your Inquisition rages, and you push us to the end of our rope. We will never get away from the bloody dark ages till we've excommunicated the Pope. Papa, Papa, ya puedes ir. Todos no te pedimos venir. Si vas a predicar como debemos vivir, no queremos oír lo que puedes decir.
Stay away, don't come back some other day. It's worse than a sin that we have to pay to hear you preach against the American way. Pope, Pope, stay away.
That was the Stay Away Pope polka. Dan, you wrote that in 1987, and what to me seems miraculous is that nothing has changed about the Catholic Church. Everything that we complained about, including persecution of gays, women, overpopulation, praying for peace while the Inquisition wages, all of that is the same.
A little more visibility, maybe, to the scandals than there used to be.
And I love some of those lines, you're just too religious to care, and we will never get away from those bloody dark ages till we've excommunicated the Pope.
And how can people hear that song if they want it?
They can get that from the Friendly Neighborhood Atheist CD? Yeah. It's a double CD track full of, I think it's 36 songs. Some of them, most of them by you, some of them are contemporary. Kristen Lems is on some of them, a folk singer. Some of them are traditional Free Thought songs, Deacon Donkins and Fry from the 1500s. And who would think the Stay Away Popoca, we'd have to bring that out again. And I also wanted to say, we've been watching this not very good miniseries, The Borgias.
And with Jeremy
Irons. Jeremy Irons. And what's amazing is he's dressed exactly the same as the Pope's dressed today. And the cardinals are dressed the same. Nothing has changed except maybe, hopefully, the torture chamber.
He wasn't wearing Prada shoes, I don't think.
Well, they were expensive shoes. Yeah. And so what we said in our letter to Mayor Schmidt in inviting the Pope to come to visit a Virgin Mary apparition is that taxpayers shouldn't have to pay to be preached against gays, women, those of us who want to use contraception to have abortion, who believe in secular republic, shouldn't have to pay for the Pope's visit.
And we don't care if they want to bring their Pope over, but they should pay for it themselves. Well, stay tuned. We're going to have more Free Thought Radio after the break, including an interview with our 20,000th member. Ken Knighton is his name, and he's from another religious cult, the Mormon Church.
Another benighted religious cult.
So I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Let's relax for about 20 seconds with some Imagine.
Salt Lake City, here I come. I'm going to Salt Lake City, here I come. They got some real peculiar people there, and I'm gonna meet me some. I'm gonna take a handcart across the plains. I'm gonna take a handcart, take a handcart across the plains. I packed all my belongings, but they told me not to bring my brains. Standing on the corner of Temple and Main. Yeah, I'm standing on the corner of Temple and Main. With my decaffeinated beverage and 17 fiancés. Well, I might hear the choir, I might see the spires. I'll do a temple session, feel the spirit like a fire. Oh, Salt Lake City, here I come. I'm going to General Conference, my pilgrimage to Mormondom.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio.
And that is Dan singing the song he wrote with former Mormon Steve Benson, Salt Lake City Blues. Our guest today is a former Mormon, Ken Knighton, who's on the phone in Bountiful, Utah.
Read the Book of Mormon, read a chapter every day. A burning in the bosom, pay, pray, and obey. There ain't no better drug to blow my mind away. Looking for a parting, never seen such glum-faced girls. Looking for a party, never seen such glum-faced girls. Ask the patriarch fathers why it's called the Prozac capital of the world. I can't drink or smoke, I can't think or swear. I can't wear my shorts in this funny underwear. Oh my heck, Salt Lake City, why the flip am I here? They've got such prehistoric notions, it's no wonder that they call it Temple Square. They got some real peculiar people there, and I'm gonna meet me some.
So that was Salt Lake City Blues, and we have on the phone with us somebody that I'm very delighted to introduce, the 20,000th member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And Ken joined as a lifetime member in February. So thank you so much, and welcome to Free Thought Radio, Ken.
Thank you. Good morning.
And you're also a former Mormon. Did you identify with any of those lyrics?
That's the first I've heard it, but it was pretty good. I was tapping my toe to it, man.
A little bit of a parody there.
Very good.
Now, you contacted us, I think it was late summer or last fall. Are you a listener to Free Thought Radio?
Yeah, I've been listening for some time. As a matter of fact, I thought your show was on Sundays because I recorded it onto my iPod, and I always listened to them on Sundays. So,
well, the first broadcast,
your show, yeah, on the podcast. So I was able to listen to them and re-listen to them, and I some of your podcasts, I've listened to 10 times. I pick out the authors or your speakers, and then research information that they had to offer.
Should you be doing this on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day of all days?
That's my day off.
And do you sleep in on Sundays first?
I usually sleep in till maybe 7 o'clock.
Well, good. Well, and so then you contacted us last fall with a very nice proposition where you said, I'd like to become, you could see that we were in the upper 19,000 members, and you said, I'd like to become the 20,000th member. And it took almost, 6 months? We told you all.
I had some surgery in between, and I thought that you'd already passed, so I kind of gave up on it. But when you called me, I was excited to go ahead with that. I think that the work that you do is very important, and there will only be a 20,000th member one time. So I thought, so I could participate in your activities, I thought that would be a great time, and here I are.
And we really appreciated the enthusiasm and marking the occasion. And actually, Ken Knighton, you are in the page 3, color picture of you, in the March 2014 issue of Free Thought Today. And it's a kind of our Meet a Members section that our editor, Bill Dunn, puts together. And it says, Meet FFRF's 20,000th member. So I just know a little bit about you from the answers that you gave, but I was surprised to learn that you had been born, I guess, Mormon. And so what was that like?
My family wasn't very active in the church. My parents never stopped us from going to church, but my parents never were the traditional Mormon family. You know, some of us kids would go to church, and they'd call it mutual and participate in, around our area, Boy Scouts, that kind of thing was strictly controlled by the Mormon church. So if you wanted to be a Boy Scout, you pretty much had to be a member of the church to be involved in those activities.
Is that what the phrase Jack Mormon means?
I was going to look that up, but Jack Mormon is just someone who either, stays in the church because
cultural or social.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah,
or cultural. Nominal, like a nominal Christian.
They may or may not believe in it, but they're still on the rolls, or they still count themselves as a Mormon, whether they believe in it or not.
Well, what about you? Did you actually believe as a child?
At 8 years old, they baptize you in the Mormon church. So, what the heck do you know at 8 years old? they baptize you. I remember trying to be good for a day or two.
Well, that was some benefit. You were a good little boy for 2 days.
Now, I was surprised to learn that you're the oldest of 8 children, and all of your siblings, fortunately, are still alive. So that was a very traditional Mormon family in that respect.
But I don't know that it had anything to do with the church.
And what about your siblings? Are they freethinkers like yourself, or...?
When I bring this up with my family, not many of them want to actually even talk about it. It's I don't think that there are any of them really that are staunch Mormons, but I had one or two of them that were married in the temple. My daughter was married in the temple not long ago.
Really?
It was a situation. They won't in the temple marriages. They will not allow non-Mormons or non-temple or temple recommend holding Mormons go in and watch your own children be married, which is I think is pretty sad.
You
their own mother.
You couldn't go then. They wouldn't let you in.
Well, yeah, they have a little. They have a nice waiting room outside. But you can't. You can't.
The riffraff.
Yeah, really. You can't attend the ceremony though. You know, and you know, it didn't hurt me so much, but I was really sad for my wife that she was not able to see our daughter be married.
And so is your daughter a very devout Mormon, or was she simply appeasing her husband?
Well, she's my daughter, but I think that, you know, she's her and her husband, they're doing quite well. They're, you know, with their family and stuff. I think the church helps hold them together. You know, it's good for them, I suppose, as my wife would say.
Now, Ken, you told me, we did a little interview before this show, that you have actually had your hair cut 3 times in the presence of the Mormon prophet. Is that right?
Yes.
And tell us, who is the prophet?
Tom Monson, Thomas S. Monson. He's the current leader of the church, or the prophet, seer, revelator. But in Mormonism, there's in magic, things happening 3 times is supposed to have significance, you know, like the angels appearing to Joseph Smith, that kind of thing. But I thought it was kind of odd that we got our hair cut, you know, 3 times in a local barber shop here in Bountiful. He doesn't go there anymore. I think it's for security reasons. But it was he was very approachable. I shook his hand, and nothing moved. He's a man.
Now, nice was this guy. When he was the Mormon president at that time?
Yes.
And so he lives in the same city as you?
No, I don't know where he lives. I assume Salt Lake. But he'd come out to Bountiful. He had a favorite barber. But he'd come out and get his hair cut. It was probably a good break for, you know, like, for a guy like him to get out a little bit.
Now, I don't know the terrain. Bountiful is near Salt Lake City?
We're about, 10 miles or less north of Salt Lake City.
And this, there's a famous play, I think it's on Broadway again right now, A Trip to Bountiful. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have.
But I don't think it has anything to do with Mormonism.
I don't think it does either.
But so, is this mostly a Mormon conclave, or is it?
We have a temple here in Bountiful that they've built. You know, it's a great big thing on the side of the hill that they light up at night.
That song that we started the show with, Salt Lake City Blues, was written by me and Steve Benson. You probably know who Steve Benson is. His grandfather used to be, what are they called? Not the Pope, the President, right? Ezra Taft Benson.
Yeah.
And Steve made a very public break from Mormonism. And then my first visit to Salt Lake City was during General Conference Week. It was the big twice-a-year conference Mormons have. We were doing our show there, and I realized we didn't have a song about Mormonism. So an hour before the show, Steve and I went to the piano with 2 of his Mormon friends, and they were feeding me these lines about Mormonism, the hand cart across the plain, and,
Jello.
Yeah, all these
what
different...
What the heck, or what the flip.
Yeah, all these different phrases that I wasn't familiar with, but that those guys fed. And so that song, we didn't change a thing. And in the audience, we sang for a bunch of ex-Mormons there during that week, and they were rolling on the floor laughing because I think... And maybe this is not true with you because you weren't, you didn't go on a mission or you didn't wear the underwear and all that stuff. But
no, I didn't.
But I think a lot of former Mormons have a real deep hole to crawl out of. They're always talking about it. It's always in the front. Even when they're atheists today, they're still talking about how their Mormon upbringing influenced their life. How true is that in your life?
In Utah, we live in a theocracy. You know, this art. Our state is controlled by the LDS Church. It's I've written some interesting things about our last election here in Bountiful, for example. One of the candidates for our mayor dropped out of the race because the current mayor, who was elected, he won the election because no one opposed him, but one of the most qualified candidate dropped out of the race because the current mayor had a higher church calling or higher church position than he did. And I got this from the candidate himself. Now, that wasn't the only reason, but just the fact that was a reason is pretty scary.
Seems to me, if I recall, that there's a little phrase in the U.S. Constitution about there should not be a religious test for public office.
There is in Utah.
Well, maybe
91% of our, 91% of our legislature are Mormon.
But even though you were not the strict born in the bed Mormon, in this questionnaire that you were given for the Meet a Member in our newspaper Free Thought Today, one of the questions was, these are a few of my favorite things, and you replied, studying early Mormon history, debunking religious dogma, snowmobiling, and quiet Sundays. So you have obviously done research into the Mormon history.
Very much so. It's it's a relatively young religion. So, and the early Mormons, they wrote everything down. So they have to defend themselves. We call them mopologists. From the things that that they have written, they make all these assertions, and then they try to make facts fit their theology, and it doesn't work. So I want to say that my friends, many friends here, and family members are Mormons, and you'll never find probably more honest and caring and family oriented people anywhere. But they're duped. They've been duped, and they're told not to talk to anyone who would challenge their faith.
Well, I think that's the perfect segue. We are just about out of time of this segment, and I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker. We're talking with Ken Knighton, a former Mormon, the Freedom From Religion Foundation's 20,000th member. And after we come back from the break, we'll continue talking with Ken, but here's a tune that might represent some of his heritage.
I believe that the Lord God created the universe. I believe that he sent his only son to die for my sins. And I believe that ancient Jews built boats and sailed to America. I am a Mormon. And a Mormon just believes.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're talking with Ken Knighton, who is in fact a Jack Mormon. During the break, our engineer Dave McCann looked it up on the internet. It's like a nominal Mormon who's on the list, who might practice a little bit, but isn't really the full-blown, dedicated, church-going Mormon. So Ken, we've been talking about your interests in Mormon history, and I'm a little bit curious. I think I read recently that now scientists or historians have proved that this so-called Book of Abraham that Joseph Smith said was the works of Abraham. They've now shown that that can't possibly be true. How is the church handling this fact that there's a fraud in their own history?
The way they do most everything else, they don't talk about it. They don't want the members to know, so it's not brought up. And I agree that if anyone researches it, members are not encouraged to go outside of the church for information. But as you know, the Book of Abraham was translated by Joseph Smith from some Egyptian papyri that made it into town with a guy named Chandler that had a wagon. He bought, I think at that time, three mummies and some papyri. I guess the guy wouldn't let him have the papyri unless he took the mummy. So they exhibited them for quite a while, and Joseph would spend time translating them and
Quotes, I gather.
They just, they basically, they've got caught here with their pants down. It's found there's nothing in there that has anything to do with the church claim that it did. So,
that he said it was actually a testament written by Abraham himself in ancient hieroglyphic, and he translated it, which
by the hand of Abraham. That's right.
Yeah, and which now we know was a fraud.
Exactly. Oh, sure it was. There's been many of them. I mean, there's the Kinderhook plates is an interesting read on. He supposedly translated those. He did a Greek Psalter that someone brought to him, and that was Joe's M.O. He pretended to, and he was really good at it. Remember, he was real good. He got women to marry him that were already married to other women. He had sex with with girls, with, you know, 14-year-old girls. He was quite an operator. He was a mayor of Nauvoo. He was running for president when he was killed. Was a banker. I mean, the guy was a real go-getter.
Well, there must have been something in some of these charismatic, like Muhammad. Muhammad and Joseph Smith must have had in person some kind of a scary, charismatic look in their eyes that attracted people. There must have been something magnetic about the person.
I no doubt. I'd love to meet him. I mean, he's a very interesting character, and there's so much information, you know, that you can find out about him now. The church is changing slowly. I mean, this stuff can't be hidden anymore. You know, people are finding the internet is the greatest boon to truth that I think that's ever been invented.
So if I showed up in front of the temple in Salt Lake City with a sign saying, "Science has proved that the Book of Abraham is a fraud," would they even turn their heads?
You wouldn't be the only one.
Huh.
But I think they'd marshal you off real quick. Private property.
Yeah. They bought the public area that, you know, to keep people from doing that. They bought the whole street and everything, you know, that the church bought, you know. They says, we don't want people to demonstrate here anymore, so they bought the whole street, so they couldn't.
But you were telling me during the break, Ken, that the Book of Mormon, which is that blasphemous Broadway musical, is going to be coming to Salt Lake City next year. So that does show that at least the whole city isn't owned by the Mormon Church. And we did play a little snippet from that great song, I Believe, when we were going out of the break by Andrew Rennell was singing that from the Book of Mormon. And that's also done a lot, I think, to shed a light on the peculiar beliefs of Mormon people, has it not?
I think through laughter, maybe that's a way that you can get to people is to laugh at themselves. It is pretty silly.
Well, thank you, Ken, for being our 20,000th member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And if any of our listeners want to be the 20,300th listener, they're well welcome to join. Go to ffrf.org. Thank you, Dave McCann, for producing and engineering our show today. This becomes a podcast later. Any listeners who want to hear this, go to our website, ffrf.org/news/radio.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And Dan and I also have official FFRF Twitters, Dan Barker, FFRF, and Annie Laurie, FFRF. And ask for more information at 1-800-335-4021 or join us at FFRF.org. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio, Blasphemous Broadcasting, and a very interesting interview with Marcy Hamilton, the well-known attorney, about the Hobby Lobby case.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.